Merkel Media.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Brian Merkel.
And I'm Brian Shipper.
If you have a crazy and wild story you would like to share with us from the road, or if you would like to have a conversation with us about your experiences on the road, go ahead and contact us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the hammerlanelegends.com webpage and hit the contact section, get a hold of us that way. Either way works for us. Just go ahead and get a hold of us. And while you're there on the webpage, if you do go in that way, take a look at the gear section. Take a look at, just take a walk around the Hammer Lane Legends webpage and see what's there. Because I don't even know what's there anymore. How about you, Ship?
Just let your fingers do the walking.
Let your fingers do the walking. And, you know, well, while you're at it, Ship, tell them about the voicemail line.
Voicemail line's a short story. Anything goofy, crazy, wild that happened that you seen, participated in. We're accustomed of because of the fact you can leave a voicemail 515-585-MERK 515-585-6375. Short story, 5-10 minutes at the most. You got a longer story than that? Get a hold of Brian or I or Jack and we'll schedule you to be on
exactly.
The show.
Exactly. Just go ahead and get a hold of the Proton Mail or if you have my number, go ahead and contact me. Seems to be going around lately,
yes,
so that's
yes,
fine.
That's fine. But website, gear section, all that happy
buy
stuff.
Buy me a coffee?
Yeah, I did that. Oh, buy me a coffee. Yeah, that's right. Keep us fueled. Buymeacoffee.com/Hammer Lane. Virtual tip jar. If you like what we're doing, you enjoy the show, feel free to contribute. If not, thanks for looking. And somebody by the name of someone who works in the AR rifle making business and gets to listen to us at work. Kudos to you.
How about it?
Have at it. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you contributing.
Very much. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Well, hey, take a look at this, Shipper. We got a couple of voicemails to do today.
Yes. Oh, yes, we do.
How
look
about
at that?
Let's. Shall we take
promised,
a listen?
Promises delivered. Here
yes,
we go.
Yes, sir. Here we go.
Strap in.
Listen.
Hey, I just got a comment on the New York cab situation. Yes, I did see it there. And to give you a time frame, like date-wise, weeks maybe, but it was a New York cab. And that was still there when I got back from Washington about 7 o'clock in the morning. Just thought I'd let you know. Hey, now you got a voicemail play. See ya.
All right, thank you there, Grinder.
The continuing saga of the New York cab.
Yes, sir.
How about it? It was not a Pitt, Ohio driver. It was just a fare that stiffed the New York cabbie, and somehow he wound up in our parking lot, and the rest is history, as you people understood and listened to and heard. So it was not one of our drivers.
No, it was not.
Just want to put that out there. Put that story to bed.
That's right. That being said, here's
on
the next
with the
one.
Next one.
Hey, is this the B&B show or the Hammer Down show? Hey, this is Florida calling. You know what really grinds my gears? Is all these LED headlights. Man, if I wanted to see 3 weeks into the future, I'd get some of my own. Technology is great, except for when it hurts. I just can't understand how come the state don't regulate this shit. You know, with some of these trucks you got.
Well, that's the end of that one. we will continue because there's another one from the same number.
All right.
Brian and Brian.
The B&B show.
You know what grinds my gears? Regulations. Let's take fishing, for example. The state regulates when you can fish, what you can fish, how big the fish are, what you can use as bait, but they can't regulate these damn LED headlights. We're driving 80,000 pounds, and I can't see. Have a good day.
Amen, brother. It's funny. I was just listening to somebody on the radio last night talking about that very subject. He was complaining about how bright these freaking lights are.
Well, the problem is, the newer trucks, they're LED. You're not getting light from it. But it's these LEDs that guys put in the older tractors, and they don't ever get their headlights readjusted.
No, they don't.
They if you're going down the road and you can spot the FedEx plane in the air,
yes,
you probably need an adjustment.
If you're getting eye shine off of Bigfoot,
yes,
your headlights are shining too high. You know what I'm saying?
A quick question on that. If the light looks like a spotlight going up on the exit sign overhead,
yes,
adjust them, please.
Please do.
We understand it. We feel his pain, but
yep.
There's nothing you're going to get to do around it.
No, unfortunately not. Well, you know what? Here's another voicemail.
Well, we tote a really big trailer with our dirt bikes out in the Yuma sand dunes. And, I mean, we're at a truck stop right now, and we're not going to be done for a few minutes. But you cannot believe it. Naked and afraid, you need to come out to the Yuma sand dunes with your dirt bikes, and you better have a toolbox. I mean, our truck breaks down. You just can't believe what happens out here. I think it makes trucking look easy. When you've got off-road vehicles and a truck and a trailer, and you bring a bunch of city slickers with you, talk about naked and afraid. Yeah, go out to the sand dunes. You better have everything you need. Do the big dunes in Yuma. And I do have tons of stories. It's just crazy out there. I mean, there is a story every day.
Well, you know what? Bring that story on the show. Go ahead and contact us.
We leave a voicemail.
Yeah. Contact us. Come on the show and actually have a conversation. That'd be an awesome conversation. Sounds like a challenge.
Yeah. Well,
challenge accepted.
Challenge accepted. That's fine. I understand what she's feeling.
Yeah.
Used to go snowmobiling all the time. You didn't have all your crap together.
That's the beauty about driving a truck.
You were the guy that you drove by and says, "Yeah, you're gonna have a shitty weekend."
It's rough to be you. Sorry.
Yeah. From the sucks to be you file.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But hey, please do contact the show and come on out. We'd love to hear you. We'd love to have a conversation with you and talk about what's going on in Yuma and all about all of the dirt bike riding and everything else that you do, or sand dune riding, or whatever kind of riding you do. In Yuma.
And if the train still arrives at 3:10.
At 3:10, yes. Nicely you played, like that my one. Friend. Nicely played.
Challenge achieved.
Well, today we're talking to Adelaide Today Ship. Today we're talking Adelaide Today Ship.
The guest today is Adelaide.
Thank you, Shipper. How about that? The guest today is Adelaide. Adelaide, how are you doing?
Pretty good, hanging in there. Got back early last night.
Fantastic.
Able to get a nap in.
It is nice to get back early, isn't it?
Yeah, especially on a holiday weekend.
Oh man, and I got done early myself. I was really surprised. And of course, Shipper was on vacation this week, so he was done early. Not at all, dude. I'm happy for you. I'm glad you're on vacation and enjoying your week, and you got a little bit of rest and relaxation. And you came into studio today, rested and ready to rock and roll.
And I'll enjoy next week too.
And you'll fall asleep today. So Adelaide, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us how you got into the trucking industry. What kind of drove you into that? No pun intended, or maybe pun intended.
I've been driving about 38 years.
Wow.
32 years commercially. I did 6 years in the Army. Started off driving a dump truck in Fort Bragg, and then when I re-enlisted, I went to Alaska for 3 years.
Wow.
Wasn't too warm up there, was it?
Yeah, I went in as a truck driver.
Yeah, but I'm saying it wasn't too warm in Alaska, was it for you?
No. It was brutal up there. The winter of 89, it was 50 below.
There you go. Nice. That was pre-global warming,
No need for refrigeration.
It was 50 below for like consecutive 8 days.
Wow, 50 below. Holy crap, dude. That's just like...
Huh.
Why?
Yeah, so, that was no wind chill. Yeah, it was straight temperature.
Wow.
That's enough to build a house. Ice house.
It hurt to breathe when it was that cold.
Oh, I bet. Holy cow. Wow, that's like that. That's kind of cold that makes the hairs on the inside of your nose all stick together, you know, and you can feel your nose.
Yeah,
just
if your car wasn't plugged in, you weren't going nowhere.
Yeah, right. Holy cow.
Like all the stores and stuff out there had outlets, and you plug your car in because you'd have a oil pan heater, a block heater, and a battery blanket.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I really didn't know that.
Alaska's ahead of our time for EV charging.
Yeah. Well, it was back in the 80s, so the cars ain't worth like they were today with electronic fuel injection. They're mostly like throttle body, and you really had to keep them warm as they want to start. The cars today probably don't have much of an issue as they did back then.
Yeah, but the snow machine started up.
That
was in Fairbanks. So Fairbanks didn't get, they got snow, but not as much as you would think.
Oh, no kidding.
Because it's like real dry up there. It's almost like a winter desert.
That's kind of cool.
The desert of Alaska.
Right. It's one of those weird, it's one of those things that you kind of look somebody, kind of at a corner of your eye when they say that. You're like, what? The desert in Alaska? Are you sure?
But I know when it was 50 below, you could throw a hot cup of coffee up there and it would freeze by the time it hit the ground.
Wow.
Nice.
Talk about iced coffee, huh?
Yeah.
And that's why I drove my first driving a tractor trailer.
Okay.
Up there, cause they had a commercial, trucks. They weren't military. They're like GSA bought them, and we worked with civilians up there. Like half the motor pool was civilians and half was the Army guys.
Wow.
Driving buses and like their day cabs. We just pulled around like a little step deck and like a 45 foot trailer. We would take the grunts out to the field, which is I guess you would say the infantry guys.
Wow. Yeah.
And they go play Army out in the winter, and they throw all their gear on the back of the tractor, on the trailer. We
like
stuff them off, let them go play in the winter.
Right, like an ice road trucker. It's like, what the heck?
Except he didn't have to drive over any water.
We pretty much stayed around post, and maybe like 30 miles outside post, take them to the fields. But other than that, we didn't. Then them truck drivers up there, they go from Fairbanks up to Prudhoe Bay. It's like 350, 400 miles of just gravel road.
Yeah, craziness. Coal
supplies up to the pipeline, but yeah. Yeah, they earn the money up there.
Yes, they do. Not my kind of freaking drive.
That's a gravel road when it's melted.
Right.
Yeah. There's no cars allowed on in the winter, though. It's pretty much you have to have a permit.
Right. Well, it'd be the Alaskan slide.
Go up there. Yeah, holy cow. But no, so you were up there, you were in the unit of service for 6 years, you said?
Yeah, Fort Bragg, I was in an airborne unit.
Okay.
And, they'd throw the like D5 dozers, graders like that.
Uh-huh.
They parachute them out on big skids.
Wow.
Everything would always break though when they'd send something out the plane. They only did it twice since I was there because everything would break.
Imagine
a 5-ton dump truck coming out with parachutes.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to make it.
It's going to hit hard.
If a tree falls in the woods, does anybody hear it? But when a D5 dozer hits the ground, somebody going to feel it.
They set them up where they put honeycomb, real thick honeycomb underneath the frame and everything. Right. It'd be strapped to a big aluminum pallet. And that's how they secured it when they sent it out the plane. And the parachutes were supposed to slow it down, but something was always breaking when they landed.
I can't imagine. I mean, how much can you slow it down?
Yeah, I was going to say, take notice of the key words. Parachute and slowing down.
Yeah. I forget what I was listening to last night. Somebody was saying something about, the government's coming up with lighter than air, spaceships or whatever, lighter than air, plane ships or whatever. It's like it's a balloon. don't try and reinvent the wheel. It's lighter than air. It's a balloon.
It is a zeppelin.
How big does that parachute have to be to slow down a dozer?
There was like three of them. There'd be like three real huge ones.
Wow. I can't. Yeah.
The one we jumped out of were the
huge, the size of Rhode Island.
Our mission was to throw that. Dump those off, and then we jump out afterwards and You know, we're just supposed to like build clay airstrip and stuff like
right.
that.
Right.
Well, that's what the
try and catch up.
I was an engineer unit. Yeah.
I was gonna say there's one good seconds. Thing.
That's amazing.
That
dude.
Dozer's gonna hit the ground before you.
Yep. No matter what the law of physics say. All I can say is that you better hope it hits the ground before you do, because you don't want to be under it when it lands.
Right. That's for sure.
But all of that being said, I just want to say thank you so much, Adelaide, for your service. It is much appreciated.
I didn't see no action. It was
that's
just,
okay.
I wasn't overseas. I wasn't out of Iraq. But.
Dude, you still signed on the dotted line. You did more than what most of us do. So, hey.
The airborne unit I did for the money, though, because you had to make one jump every 3 months to keep a – that you got a hazard pay, $110 a month. And back then, I'm like, one jump every 3 months? If that's all we had to do, that's $330
per month, jump,
yeah, that's $330
right?
bucks for one jump. I'm like, that's the hell of a deal.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And in the 1980s, $110 was $110. In 2023, $110 is like, you know, $3.50.
$3.55.
That was back in 1985.
Yeah, so there you go.
We only jump like once every other month. So I only have like 26 jumps, and I guess something like that.
That's more jumps than I'll ever have. I'll guarantee you that. So that's cool.
I still went out to even up to the last one. I still went out the door with my eyes closed.
Well, I don't blame you. I don't want to see what's coming, just in case something doesn't go right.
Well, what sucked was the night jumps. You didn't want to be in the first because there's like 60 of us go out each side of the doors on C-130s,
uh-huh.
And at nighttime you want to be towards the back because if there's no moon out, you can't tell when the ground's coming. So if people went in front of you, you could hear them going. Sun hitting the ground. You're like, okay, the ground's coming up. Let me get ready to tense up. So you don't want to be the first one out of the night jump.
Oh my gosh.
You weren't the guinea pig. You can't hear the guys grunting and moaning when it hit the ground because they were just, it wasn't none of this fancy special forces stuff. It was these round parachutes you couldn't steer. You just went out and landed wherever.
You're just floating.
We were only jumping from like 1,200 feet. So we're not one of those real high, you know. Jumping from way up in the air, so you're talking 1,200 feet. You hit the ground pretty fast.
Wow! Yeah.
12. If you're at 1,200 feet, as soon as you get out, you better be pulling the cord.
Well, we didn't pull it. They're all static line.
Oh, jumps, okay.
Which gotcha. You hook up and you go out, and the line pulls the chute for you.
Gotcha.
That's the goof proof one. Yes, sir. Amen, brother. That's what I would need because I'd be like
skydiving for the stupid.
What am I supposed to do?
It wasn't skydiving. You weren't in the air though. Yeah. Floating around looking at the scenery.
Right.
you're just floating around looking for the ground, going, where's it at?
Yeah.
Oof. Or snap. Uh oh, that's not good.
Oh my word, that's hilarious. That's why I just I leave it up to other people to jump out of planes. That's how it is.
Why they call it a young man's sport.
Yes, it is. So that kind of led you into your trucking career then,
I went into the Army. That was my job. My MOS was the 88 Mike, which is a truck driver. So that's why I went to basic training, then went to their AIT, where they called truck. Your training, which was truck driving,
uh-huh.
And after the training for truck driver, I went to Fort Benning to jump school, and then that's when I got signed at 27 Engineers. I'm like, what am I going to do driving a truck in an airborne unit? Then I figured it comes to find out it was a 5-ton dump truck.
Right. Now I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, dude. That's really
and
cool.
And then that's why I re-enlisted. Then that's why I went to Alaska.
Okay. And you were in Alaska for how long?
Oh, God.
How long were you in Alaska? Like, what was your term?
Three years.
3 years. That's enough.
3 years. Yeah, and then I took my military driving record when I was in Alaska because I think the CDL was coming out in like 91 or 92, and most of the states were getting on it early.
Right.
So I took my military record to the DMV in Alaska, and they gave me Alaska CDL. And then when I got out in 91, I took it to Ohio, got a transfer to Ohio, and I already had it lined up. Then I started driving for J.B. Hunt. They said they paid for your military experience. It was like 2 cents more, but
wow.
So I had to go to Lowell, Arkansas for 2 weeks for orientation for J.B. Hunt. And they show you how to read maps and, you know, where their fuel stops, how they operate.
Whoa, shut the front door. They taught you how to read a map? You just got out of the military, out of the airborne. I think you have map reading 101 covered.
Interstate, yeah, this and that. They sure did, yeah, how to do the log books and all that, because I had no clue.
I was going to say, were you the guy that raised your hand and said, I can read the map, but where's the parachute?
Map skills check. The parachute part was equivalent to doing the logbook.
Right.
You know, that's the transfer part. That's the part that has to get relearned.
I did this on an Etch-a-Sketch.
I drove over the road for them for like 2 years. I had enough. I couldn't stand it.
Oh, I bet.
Gone for like months at a time.
Yep.
It's kind of like the military, but a lot less pay.
In a cab over.
Yes. Holy
cow. Back then, that's, most of them were cab overs.
Yeah, the brown cab overs. Yeah.
Oh, my word, yeah.
How did I get the color in my head right away?
I don't know.
Holy crap.
I didn't remember they were brown.
They were
brown. Then.
They were like a tan brown.
Wow.
Tannish something. Yeah.
Yellowish.
Yeah.
Back then, J.B. Hunt was, they were like the Swift of today. Everybody, right. They were the talk. Yeah, everybody made fun of you, right. J.B. Hunt back in the 90s.
Well, although they could have been white at one time, they just faded in the sun. That I don't know, but they were, it was almost like a baby shit brown.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, it was that.
Yeah, yellowish, baby shit brown with the frames orange.
Right. And then you had Schneider, that was the big orange one, and they were cab overs.
The great pumpkin.
The great pumpkin has risen. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So you worked for them for 2 years, and then did you transfer into LTL then, or did you transfer into something else?
Oh yeah. And then LTL. Like, I gotta get out of here. I gotta go where the money's at.
Yeah.
And then I got real lost in Baltimore, lost I've ever been. Downtown Baltimore, J.B. Hunt. I was, there's every street I turned on said no trucks. I was like, please, please get pulled over by a cop so he can tell me how to get out of here.
Just give me a ride to the bus depot.
I got so frustrated. I was thinking, I wanted to park that truck and call a cab and get out of there because I was so aggravated. And then after that, I bought a paper from Cincinnati at Classifieds. And I think BJAX was hiring they were hiring in Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. So I called them up, and Donnie Hamilton, can you come in for an interview? Which is Donnie Jr. was running it, I guess. His dad was still in on it, but his son was running it.
Right.
So I drove the J.B. Hunt truck from Baltimore into the downtown Pittsburgh terminal. I think down there on Smallman. It was kind of close to where the old Pitt, Ohio.
The old Pitt, Ohio. Yeah.
Like, and he hired me. He said, you're hired from Cincinnati. So I called up J.B. Hunt and said, I quit. They said, where are you at? I said, I'm Pittsburgh. They said, can you bring the truck back? I said, yes.
Yeah. If bringing it back to Pittsburgh is where it back is.
Yeah, drivers would just quit and leave the trucks.
Yeah.
And they'd have to send somebody out of it. But I'm like, yeah, I'll bring the truck back to you. It's Springfield, Ohio.
Wow.
And then P-Jax was another trip because J.B. Hunt had fairly decent equipment, but P-Jax was junk.
Well, you know what that stood for.
P-Jax? What?
Yeah. Pittsburgh, Johnstown, at Toon Express.
Yeah, no. Just, what do we say? Just pulling junk around all the time, or junk express? Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah. Pulling junk around express.
They had like one new truck in Cincinnati, but the senior guys drove it in the city and on Linehall.
That was me.
I mean, my first trip out, they sent me to Harrisburg in a U-Model Mack. I'm like, what the hell? What the heck did I get myself into? Doors rattling and everything. Wow. I was like, oh my God.
You were happy if you graduated to an R-Mac, an R-Model.
I did. I got to an R-Mac later.
I had no idea it was that bad.
They had one CH Mac in Cincinnati.
Right.
All the rest were U and R-Models.
Wow. Right.
And then about 2 months in, I was going to Pittsburgh. And at the time, they bought a bunch of these old Warner trailers.
Warner wagons. Yeah.
I'm going up 79. I look in my mirror, and the whole rear trailer tandem come off. Went flying across the southbound side.
And wow. Like,
what the heck? What did I just see? Yeah, the whole tandem and everything came off the axle. Both tires and rims, everything.
Wow. That's all I can say.
I forgot this was the guy you said worked at PJAX. Yes, worked at PJAX,
just like you did.
See, he was in it with me.
He was in it to win it, man.
I feel you,
brother.
I feel you.
That is amazing. Wow.
And then Donnie, he asked me about it when I got to business. He's like, what happened? I said, the wheels come off the trailer.
The wheels come off the front, really? Man.
The wheels aren't going round and round.
I don't think it hit anybody.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Holy cow.
Major lawsuit there if it would have hit somebody. But
And how?
They sent another trailer out. I think they chained up the axle and somebody else took it back into Pittsburgh. But I was like, man.
Right.
I don't even think they found the wheels. They were off in the woods.
Off in the river or something. Yeah.
This is why I say, you know, you don't go to a used trailer auction because the people that are getting rid of the trailers, they're getting rid of them for a reason.
Right. No, exactly. Very true. Okay. Very true.
But on the mindset, those type of trailers that we would get rid of from PJAX, they'd be like new trailers to Central.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. But on a nicer note, I will say when I got a chance to meet Jeff Hamill, he was really a nice guy. He was very nice to meet. We actually did an interview with him and we had a really nice time. What a really cool guy. You know,
Which one's Jeff?
He was the redheaded stepchild that got moved around everywhere. He was in Harrisburg.
Okay.
Then he was in
Allentown. The only one I met was Donnie and his dad.
Yeah. They were
Donnie Senior and Donnie Junior.
Right.
Gotcha.
By what? Yeah. By 90-ish, Jeff was already in Harrisburg already because he was out of Pittsburgh. You know, because they were. He was.
Oh,
in
okay.
That was their main hub too.
PJAX was in Pittsburgh. Yeah. Like I said, wherever Pitt, Ohio was, we were like PJAX 1,500 right feet away.
Right.
It's just the animosity.
In 79, I think PJAX started in like 1985. So Pitt, Ohio had like a 6 or 7
year
jump on.
They had the 5-year curve on them.
PJAX.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
They had the 5-year curve on them. I've always said it. I said, Pitt, Ohio was always 5 years ahead of us.
Right.
You know, we finally got the stick on. Jesus.
Pro Christ. Numbers?
Pro numbers, yeah.
You're welcome.
We finally got them. And I mean, Pitt, Ohio had them for ages.
Right.
You know, we moved up to that, and that was a big step for mankind.
One small step for man, one giant leap for PJAX. Pro numbers.
I gave PJAX about a year, and I'm like, I got to get out of here.
Oh, really? So no kidding.
I went to Spartan Express, which Roadway owned, four non-unit carriers. They were trying to start up a company kind of like what CF did with XPO, as we know now. They had Conway.
Yeah, it used to be American Freight.
Yes. Yeah. CCX and stuff like that. Yeah. But you guys probably know Coles. Do you remember Coles Express?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Roadway owned them. They owned Spartan, and then they owned Central. Not the Central you know, but the Central out of Texas.
Yeah, Central Freight.
Central Freight
Transfer or something like that. And Viking. Yep.
Freight.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So they own these four non-union carriers, and they're trying to all group them into one, and it never failed. It panned out. So I worked for Spartan for like a year, then they changed the name to Viking Freight, and then when they tried to combine Coles, Central, all of them into one, the computers, like, they couldn't get it down, so they just shut it down. East of the Mississippi, they shut down Viking Freight.
Right.
And that's when I had to leave Spartan. They closed the doors.
Wow.
And then when they closed the doors, that's when I went to Pitt, Ohio. And then when they opened up the terminal Cincinnati in like 1997, I think it was.
Oh, wow. No, Ken. So you've been with Pitt for a while.
No. I quit after I was with only Pitt, Ohio like a year and a half back in 97. See, back then they were paying hourly.
Yep.
And I was chasing the money, dude. That's all. Right. I thought, this is what I'm going to do all my whole life. I'm going to chase the money and make as most I can. But I think back then, when we remember, is the road driver was making like, I don't want to say 13 or 14 bucks an hour, and pretty much all overtime on Fridays.
Right.
And Roadway was hiring. So I went from, I was, Pitt, Ohio, maybe a year, I think. And then I went to Roadway in 1998. Yeah. So I was at Pitt, Ohio a year, then went to Roadway.
Okay.
So I went from the tiniest LTL company to the largest at the time. I think Roadway was number one back then. And then I think it was Yellow, then it was CF.
Right.
Wow. What was
the Cincinnati? I was like, I was number 331 when I got hired.
Wow,
Blackwell driver.
Nice. What was the pay difference between Pitt and Roadway back then?
I doubled my money the first year, I'd say.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, because they went
see, over there,
union scale.
Over there, you can work as much as you want. It wasn't so much the pay, but you could work 7 days a week if you wanted. They never shut down. It was a seven-day week operation. That,
that's true, yeah, yes.
In and out. So you get time, and what was hard to get used to over there was all on call, even the bid runs. So the phone would be ringing at 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, and they give you 2 hours once the phone rang, once they talk to you to come in, a two-hour work call.
Right. So, Brian, that would not have been a company for you.
Not at all. Because
you can work 70, you will work 70. We'll make it happen for you.
Yeah, that's just not my deal now. It was my deal back then when I first started at Pitt. Yeah, okay, I'll work whatever hours. But now, 26 years later, nah, not so much a lot. You know, it's like, I'm not looking for that anymore. You know, the kids are all grown and out of the house. But, you know. But no, that's a really cool transition. How long were you at Roadway then?
15 years.
Wow. Were you there when they transferred to Yellow? Was that part of it then?
Yeah, that's where everything started going downhill when Yellow bought. I think I'm gonna say Yellow bought them in.
Right.
Man, the dates. I'm gonna say like 2008, maybe.
I was gonna say eight.
And it all started going downhill. See, Roadway was debt free. They owned all their equipment.
Wow.
And they owned all the terminals. They had no debt. And then Yellow come in and. Everything started going.
Why would they sell to Yellow then? Did they just want to?
It's all about investors. What the shareholders wanted. Yeah. They offered a premium price.
See,
yeah, it's all Wall Street
was,
stuff.
See, there was a whole
that's
thing.
Not family
when
owned,
you become
it was,
a publicly traded company,
that makes sense.
It's all about the dollar.
Yeah, I totally get that.
I mean,
now, once you
that,
said publicly traded, it's like, it makes perfect. I get it. You're right.
I experienced that with when we became Vitran.
Uh huh.
You know, it was a publicly traded company.
Yeah. So,
and. You know, and I, you know, the 7 year
PJAX.
Rule. Yeah. When
PJAX
sold to Vitran, it was a publicly traded company.
Right.
In 7 years, I knew they were going to dump it. I knew.
Wow.
It. You know, and year one was the only year they matched the stock from when they first bought us.
Wow.
So, you know, it was downhill from there.
Holy cow.
And then my last year at Pitt, Ohio, I had a new truck, and that was a culture shock on the Roadway because all they had was junk too.
Right.
No power. No power.
With about 400 million miles on it. They just rebuilt them.
Then none of them had power steering.
Wow.
Big old huge steering wheel in it because they didn't have power steering. They had air starters. Air starters.
Yeah.
In them.
Wow.
You ever heard of that?
Yeah.
They're loud. Yeah. You know, you start them up. No passenger seat in the trucks. Just one seat, driver's seat. No radios. Yeah. No, nothing. They were stripped down trucks.
Truck bare of my minimum. Life. Yep.
Yeah, bare minimum.
Well, yeah, one seat in them. That was it. And then if you wanted that music, you had to build a radio box.
Yeah, that was
your
the big
CD
thing.
And all that on it.
Yep.
Clamp your antenna.
You don't need
to get out there on the mirror.
That's something that you don't even see anymore. No, you know, nobody has to build a radio box or anything. I
hell,
mean,
they used to everybody sell those just boxes at so the truck stop.
Yeah, you know, can just take it, just so you can put everything together in one thing, take it all out at one shot, put it all in at one shot. You're because you slip seated any tractor.
Yeah.
You didn't have one assigned you like we do at Pitt.
Yeah,
you know, holy crap!
Everything had to be quick release.
They did some crazy stuff. They never changed oil in the trucks.
Well. Just keep adding.
Yeah.
As it breaks down a lot more.
They had a dripper system in them, which oil would drip into the fuel tanks and it'd burn it out. And they'd have a little light when you open up the passenger door. If the light was red, means the shop had oil to it. So it was constantly getting fresh oil. They'd only change the filters every so often, but never drop the bolt to change the oil. They burned out the fuel tanks.
Wow. I had no idea. Holy crap.
and here's how they wanted to keep the trucks on the road. So when you added all the oil, the filler necks were outside the hood. They didn't have to open up the hood. They had oil. The filler necks would come outside the hood. They just open it up. So
get
the truck rolling.
Oh, I had no idea. Friggin' A, that's
and
crazy.
They had all they had self greasing systems too. If you did open the hood, they had a big I don't know, looked like a big bowl on it with a bunch of looked like spaghetti coming out. It was all. It
was
lines like, going all the
lines going
the
all
truck,
the grease fittings
greased.
Of the truck.
Get you know, the heck
your
out.
Fifth wheel, your spring shackles, everything. You
yeah,
know,
yeah,
everything.
Self-greasing.
Even your
they,
you know,
get a million miles out of them.
Yeah, your drag link assembly, everything. We had that on a couple of the PJAX trucks, self greasers.
Get the heck out!
And that was our. We had to make sure the greasing unit was filled. You know, if it wasn't
for
light comes on a dash, you go over, they plug a hose in, fill up the greaser unit, boom, you're on your way again.
Was that a pressurized unit? I mean, that it would actually push the grease to each.
It was on a timer or a key system, whatever it was. Okay. But yeah, it would push the grease through. You know, you can see it bubbling up off through the fifth wheel.
Right.
You get little bubbles on the fifth wheel. Yeah, yeah.
No,
it's a very good system.
Yeah, I mean, that even greased the fifth wheel for you.
Oh yeah, yeah. You could run a line to any grease fitting on that truck, and it'll grease. Yeah. Yep.
Get the heck. Yeah. Why'd they ever do away with something like that?
I mean,
that just sounds logical to me. I mean, it really cuts down on the PMs, doesn't it?
It had to be out a good 15 years. Okay. So I don't know why they got away from it.
Yeah, that's
to be honest,
I never saw a system like that.
Yeah, I mean, the kingpins, it ran that's under amazing. To the kingpins.
And I've been driving for 30 years and I've never seen that.
Well, you drove the same, you were with the same company. You got to
be 26.
You got to be a world explorer like us guys, to get a challenge of driving a non-powered steering vehicle,
I had a couple of those wonderful suck jobs. No,
not just because the belt fell off. No.
I had one of those wonderful suck jobs that actually ran a suck truck. You drove around and you sucked stuff up.
You were number one in the number two world.
Number two. But it still didn't have any, it wasn't a self-greasing truck. I don't get it. So that's all I'm saying is just kind of neat.
The only thing was not grease was the drive shaft. That's the only thing had to do is grease the drive shaft.
Wow.
And they could literally do that if you pulled it in while they were filling the greaser, another monkey go underneath, hit the drive shaft, and you're out the other door. Yeah, seriously.
You're so nice about that shit.
Well, I'm just saying.
Back to Adelaide.
Don't hate the player.
So
it made you a lazy driver over there. Yeah. There'd be months that go by you never had to back up.
Yeah.
You just pull out of one terminal, you parked at the other terminal, you just got your stuff out and left. You didn't never broke them down, put them to the dock or nothing.
Wow.
Yeah, that
was it.
That's a great feeling, never having to break them down or set them up.
You just drive, you pull through the gate and get out.
Yeah.
That's freaking awesome.
If you went to like a satellite terminal, you might have, but it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, if you went to a hub like Carlisle just drop them.
If you had to
break them. I ran a bit out there for like 4 years to Carlisle. Yeah. That was one of the bigger terminals.
If you had to break down a set, what did they pay you? For dropping
the doubles? It's clock time.
Okay.
The time you started is the honor system, basically. Okay. So some guys would just milk the clock. Oh, 45 minutes to drop and hook,
Oh, that doesn't ever happen. Come on.
Have you ever hooked a set? Shut up. It can. Okay.
If it were up to me, it would probably take me an hour and a half to do it. Not if it were up to me. It's just if it was up, it was me doing it. I was like, so how does this go?
Yeah. And not 45 minutes just to bang the front spindle hook because everything else is ready to go either.
Just because I've got the doubles and triples endorsement doesn't mean I've driven doubles and triples.
Try pedaling with doubles.
No thanks, that's okay. That's above my pay grade. Yes. I've been at Pitt so many years.
You're spoiled.
I am. Pitt Ohio has been a fantastic company to be at, and I cannot complain. I mean, I can, but I'm not going to.
And they won't listen.
Hindsight's 2020, man. If I would have never left. I would have been like number two road driver.
No kidding.
I never left. You just never knew. If I only knew, I never would have left.
It's the trucking industry. You don't know. I mean,
I was young. I was chasing money. I was like, okay, let me go to this union company.
I don't blame you at all. Right. What the heck? That's, I came from a tiny little dirt water company, Johnson Motor Lines. Forgive me, George Johnson, if you're listening. But, it was just a small little company in Easton, PA. And I went to Pitt, Ohio. And I was like, I went to Venezia and drove bulk tankers for 5 months. And really, I'm out.
Really, I don't think George is listening right now. Because
he's probably not.
That's the place that burned up down there in Easton.
Yeah. But it was earlier over the summertime spring or something. Yeah,
we were like, what's that flow from? Oh, wait a minute.
Johnson Motor Lines? They're still in business?
That's right next to the bottled propane place. Okay.
There you go. Safety first. so you were there for 15 years and then you came back to Pitt after that, after Roadway?
Yeah, well, they closed down the road operation in Cincinnati. Right. They were closing down and they only keeping like six road drivers. And I was like, at the time, I was like, wow. I was like down the list, maybe 35. But I could have transferred to Chicago or Indianapolis or a couple other terminals. I'm like, I seen the writing on the wall. Right, I'm not transferring for this company.
Yeah, I don't
Let me go find another job. So you're either laid off, transferred, or get laid off or quit, basically.
Right. So did you come back to Pitt then, or did you go someplace else?
Yeah.
Pitt? That was
straight back to Pitt, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, I have some experience.
Pitt, Ohio, for a year, roadway 15 years, back to Pitt, Ohio.
Nice. Well, you know where to go back to when you need to, you know? At least the door is always open, you know?
Yep. It's not that the grass was greener. It's the truck was redder.
The truck was redder and the paycheck didn't bounce.
The truck was redder and the pay was better.
Hey, man, yeah. Well, I don't know what Roadwoo was paying at the time, but, you know.
Well, they're not paying that much now.
They're not paying anything now, so. You're making a lot more at Pitt. So, yeah, so 100%. But yeah, that's kind of a neat walkthrough.
When he was talking about their closing down the road operation, when Roadway Tannersville went out.
Oh, okay.
You know,
Brad Caven was the terminal manager in Cincinnati. He's the one that hired me. He was the terminal manager before he became where he's at now.
Right. I
think he was a terminal manager when I ran the road out there after my first 2 years. So I was at Pitt for 26. My first 2 years were city, and then I transferred to the road in 2000, and I think Brad was a terminal manager back then, right? He should have been. I think he's a terminal manager in Cincy.
Well, don't look at me.
Well, I know you weren't here yet.
Yeah, he was there. He was there in 97, so I don't know when he left.
So, yeah, he was
after that.
Yep. Yeah, he didn't leave.
98, he was still there.
Yeah, I don't think he hit Pittsburgh until sometime in the mid aughts.
Mid aughts.
like 1908, you know. What else are you supposed to call it? That's what it is. It's the aught numbers.
After the millennium.
That's an awful long way. It's a long way around going, 2008 or
I was going to say, or you could just say 2008.
Aught eight.
Oh, eight. Holy Christmas.
Watch the Music Man. Oh, you'll learn all about how to use those numbers.
Anyway, back to Adelaide.
Back to Adelaide. Enough down Brian's little memory lane. Mm-hmm. So, since you're back at Pitt, how have you enjoyed it? Because and you take notes how I worded that.
I love it.
There you go.
Roadway is you're out for 1, 2, 3 beds unless you had a bid, then you're out and back.
Wow.
But it was weekends. You can only take your time off when you get so many trips in that you could take off either 2 days or 3 days. You had to work like 6 days to take 3 days off and work 5 days to take like 2 days off.
Really?
But it only fell whenever you got the trips in. So. It very seldom fell where you could take the weekends off. So I'm going to say tons of weekends over there.
Wow.
And holidays. I was a couple of Thanksgivings. I was down in Atlanta, Georgia.
No? Okay. So you just ran, like they would just send you from wherever to wherever, and you eventually make your way back to your home terminal?
Yeah, well, they would only keep you out 3 motels because if they kept you out more than that, they had to pay you 8 hours penalty. So they never really wanted to pay you 8 hours. So after your third motel, they took you out.
So they made it the super big triangle.
Yeah, it is a big, super big. You're darn right that is. Wow.
Yeah.
I never had the opportunity to work. For someone like
I've never had the opportunity to work.
I've never had to.
If you're in a motel too long, you'd go on the clock.
I did not
call
that.
You in like 10 hours. You were on the clock.
Wow, they
had a bunch of weird union stuff like that. Like if you had to work 1 minute into the holiday, they had to pay you 4 hour penalty.
No kidding.
So coming up on a holiday and coming into Cincinnati, like the Thanksgiving weekend, you see a bunch of trucks pulled over because they're not going to get there before midnight because they're going to lose 4 hours. You know what I mean?
Right.
You get paid 8 hours for the holiday, but if you work 1 minute into the holiday, they have to pay you for 12. So everybody's just coming in after midnight on a holiday.
Wow.
They're getting their 8 holiday pay plus their 4 for being over midnight.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
And you wonder why they went out.
Hey, don't hate the system.
I'm not hating on the system.
Don't hate the player. Hate the game.
Not at all. I'm just looking at the system and going, and you wonder why.
The man has to know his parameters.
Just give me the parameters and I'll make it work.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get you. Oh, yeah. That's amazing. I've never had anybody really explain to me how the union carriers were working. Like I honestly just never sat with anybody and talked about that and I had a grasp on it. That's really like even just the pulling into the yard and somebody else breaking down your
Oh, you were allowed to. You get in trouble.
Yeah, that was the yard jockey's job.
That was their job. You would get in trouble if you try to break down or hook the setup in a big terminal. Yeah, you weren't allowed.
That's just one of those things. I had no idea. You know, really, I had no idea.
They didn't even want you checking the oil on them.
Wow.
You check the tires, make sure it's hooked up. They didn't want you popping the hood or nothing like that. That was all the shop job.
Don't look. There's a motor there. Trust us. Don't worry about it.
Check engine light on means there's an engine.
Yeah, you know what's really funny is when you think about this, I mean, what's one of the things that you learn at truck driving school? You learn when you go pre-trip, you know, crack the hood, check the oil, check the fluids, make sure everything's there.
Didn't you drive in with that tractor? It's good.
That's just crazy. Now you know why half the guys just walk in the gate, get in their truck, and start it. A city guy just got out of it. Apparently, it's still running right. It's got oil.
The idiot light didn't come on yet. It's right. So good.
The idiot light didn't come on yet because he just climbed inside. That was one of the funniest things I ever learned when my dad told me that those were the idiot lights were the lights on the dash in the car. I was like, yeah, that stands to reason. But back to Adelaide. So
I digress.
I know. This is a really fun conversation. I'm actually really enjoying myself. I had no idea. You've really had a storied career. I mean, I didn't know you were driving for as many years as you're driving.
Yeah.
I
only had a few incidents, I guess, over the years that stand out. One of them was when I was with Spartan before they changed the name to Vikings, coming into Chicago, pulled a set of doubles. In the slow lane, the trucks only go like 62 miles an hour. A car comes off the ramp. I'm thinking, okay, I can't get over. He's going to slow down. He doesn't slow down. I ran over top of his hood with the rear trailer.
Whoops.
That happens.
It cracked the back axle like 13 inches. I slam on the brakes. Wow. I go running back. There's nobody there.
Really?
Nobody around the car at all. Nobody around the car at all. And back then, there's no cell phones. And I'm like, what am I going to do? There's nobody around. This car's totaled. My axle's bent out on the rear trailer. I can't go nowhere. So I go back up in the truck and just sit till a state cop shows up.
Right.
He's like, you hit that car? I'm like, yeah. I said, well, you know, what's the story? Oh, there's nobody around. It's a stolen car. I was like, woo. Easiest accident report ever to fill out. No other driver information.
Stolen car like, hit me.
But you feel bad for the guy that owns the car.
I thought I killed somebody. Yeah. I was ready to go back there and start throwing up because I got a weak stomach. I can't.
Oh, yeah. I would make me nervous as heck, too.
I'm not good on an accident scene.
Wow. I totally get that. And, especially something like who knows what the physical damage.
Chained up the back axle and followed me like 6 miles to the terminal of Chicago.
Wow.
I told him.
This trailer's going to be out of service when you unload
it. That's the only car I've ever hit. It was that one. But he ran under me.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, he did. Yeah, definitely. I mean, he caught you on the back. You know, it's like you're already halfway past him when he hit you. It's like, couldn't stop before that one. But holy cow. I mean,
stolen car in Chicago. Go figure, huh?
Where was Susan when you need her?
She probably came out.
She might have been the lady to come out. Yeah. That's just crazy. You know, that's the stuff that you hear that you just shake your head and you're like, holy cow. And people don't realize this is what goes on. This is what truck drivers put up with.
Yeah, that's why Connecticut is big of a state.
Back then, with no cell phones, man, there's nothing you could do. Sit out there with your arms flagging people because you can't go nowhere.
Right.
Nowhere to call or
you can't even.
It's so aggravating.
Yeah, I imagine you were able to get off the road, at least off to the side.
Yeah, I was on the shoulder. That's good.
I was going out. Last night I was going out 78 and there was a big truck parked. He broke down and like, I would say maybe half of his back end of his trailer was hanging out in the right lane on 78. Cause there was no side, it was past Cabela's. And I'm like, what the heck? That looks really weird. Why is that guy sticking out?
Pull over to get over to help him push it.
Yeah. That's what I'm all about, man. You know me.
It's all about you. Yeah.
I'm a helper, man.
But then again, that's where the CB would come in, that somebody right. would know ahead of time.
Yeah. And nobody was saying anything. So I'm like, what the freaking heck?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whatever.
Oh, man.
God forbid somebody say something on the radio nowadays. Don't offend anybody just in case, you know, somebody's going to be offended about somebody sitting on the side of the road. Oh, what are you trying to say? You know,
his ass is in the hammer in the slow lane.
In the slow lane. That's what I'm trying to say. Get over. But yeah, it's just that's crazy. You know, this is the stuff. This is the stuff that in, you know, in this industry that will drive you crazy is what happens. You know, like what happened to you in Chicago there. You know, somebody just keeps, they just come right out and they don't care because, you know, it's not their car and somebody owns that car.
It's,
you know,
not their car. Somebody owned that car. Somebody else's insurance.
Yeah, it is, exactly. Well, you know all about that, don't you?
Yeah,
Shit?
I know somebody all about
else,
that.
Somebody else's, nope, not somebody else's, just nobody's insurance.
Yeah, just nobody's insurance.
They just run you in, right in the back end and that's it. Yep. You know, whatever. But that's the craziness. You know, this is stuff that we put up with. Anything, what else has gone on in your world there, Adelaide?
That was probably that's the only act I've ever been in.
Thank God for that.
But man. I've had a bad incident. Well, it turned out to be good, but at the time it was terrifying. I was coming into Pennsylvania, same comedy, Viking, coming down the hill into Pennsylvania, but like, 2-3 miles before the Claysville exit. And the rear trailer comes off.
It disconnected
from the dolly. It ripped the airlines out, and it was a light load on the back trailer, and it skidded halfway on the shoulder, and the tail was sticking out in the lane, in the slow lane. I remember it was a nighttime, and it was raining, and I was like, oh my goodness, somebody's going to run into the back of that. I didn't know what to do at the time, and a bobtail mail truck, Sod Rollers, one of them companies, he pulled over and was like, hey, you need some help? I'm like, yeah, so we dollied it up. It didn't fold the landing gear. It just slid.
Wow.
And didn't turn over, dollied it up, and he hooked up, and I turned off the air to the back trailer on the dolly, and we took it down to Claysville truck stop. They put new airlines on. I said, you need to check that fifth wheel. They said, we can't find nothing wrong with it. I called a Spartan, hooked it back up, and on the Carlisle went. But apparently, I didn't have it hooked when I left Cincinnati good enough. It's the only thing I can think of. And but it made it 230 miles before it come off.
Wow.
That
almost sounds like it's
a high hook.
Either a high hook or that was.
Yeah, I was talking when you guys were talking the other day when you seen that XPO dropped his trailer.
Yeah.
It slid. That's what mine. It slid. It didn't turn over. It slid to a stop.
Right.
Right.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. I mean,
it was a high hook or stump. Ever since then, I've been a stickler for it.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, that's one drop a trailer one time. That's enough to make you get every time. And that's some a guy almost. Tony was telling me about a guy in Norristown dropped one when Tony was still here at Pitt. And after that, I'm like, it's been habit. I look underneath it. I even if the handle looks like it's all the way in, I push the handle to make sure it's all the way in. I look underneath to check the fifth wheel.
What's his name?
And you can still drop them.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Something terrible could have happened.
Oh, but my word. Yeah.
So fortunate that the guy stopped and helped me and that nobody ran into the back of it.
Kerry Bixler out of, Oaks.
Yeah.
He used to work for Preston, then he worked for PJ.
Oh, okay.
And he told me, he says, an old timer at Preston told him, you pull out of a dock or wherever and you go hard left or hard right. He says, hit the trolley valve.
Right.
He says, but go slow because if that's going to jump or if that bar's not over,
right,
it'll unlatch when you're making the turn. And I kind of do that every time, you know. And it's kind of hard to do it with a set because, you know, you pull the trolley, everything's coming off.
Right, right.
You don't have the back pup,
right,
you know, hooking around. But
that was
my main stickler when I would hook up doubles like that. I would make sure I couldn't get the dolly underneath the pup. I'd actually have to physically back it up, that it lift, and then, you know, hit it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Because there's a lot of guys that'll crank the landing gear up that they can slide the dolly all the way under, you know, that gets in the grooves of the fifth wheel, that when they do back up, you know, it doesn't go cattywampus on them to the point where they're missing the kingpin altogether.
Gotcha.
And then that's how that sometimes happens. But that's why, again, they say make sure your trailer lifts when you're backing under it.
Right, which would be nice if half of these guys would learn not to crank the landing gear down until that hits the ground and then keep cranking.
If
you know, an inch above the ground, you know, 2 inches above the ground, just
if
stop.
If everybody knew where like 38 or 40 inches meant on a yardstick, right.
Well, and
we'd be all good.
I mean, it's not like all the tractors, they can't. Not all the tractors are the same height. They're just not.
Right.
Which is what drives you crazy, because you get one guy, you know, you go to Baltimore and almost every trailer I go to hook up to down in Baltimore it's over top of my fifth wheel. I have to get out. And of course, you know, the way they put their empties in the yard, you got like 3 inches in between the trailers. And a fat guy like me trying to fit between there, I'm crawling down on the ground underneath. It drives me insane, you know? And it's like, can't anybody just drop a trailer? But don't touch the ground with the landing gear. Once it gets down, you know, give yourself 2 inches and use your airbags, you know, so the next guy can do it. You know what I mean? And the other thing is not, you know, it's something that I didn't really think about until, you know, a few years ago, is that, you know, you check your fifth wheel and you look at the handle, they don't all go in all the way.
Right.
You know, you have to physically push them in. I don't know why. I don't know why they're designed. Are they designed like that or what?
Like mine needs the grease removed or something, because ever since I've had it, I've always had to push it in like 3 or 4 inches.
Yeah.
After every hook.
Mine's the same way.
I had the...
And I've had it since new, like Adelaide.
I had the other fifth wheel on my tractor before they switched
it. But the old hook handle thing you had to play around.
Where you had to lift up and go forward, pull forward.
Right.
You never had a problem with that.
And it's crazy.
But they said they couldn't rebuild those jaws on that fifth wheel. That's why they changed my fifth wheel to the...
To just the regular straight pull.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that too, where, you know, you can give it that little extra bump.
Yeah.
And, you know, it makes you feel good in the back of your head, but whether it does anything or not, that tells me, that just tells me there's slop there already. Yeah. That's all that tells me.
Well, that's what drives you crazy. You know, it's one of those weird things. And you think it should just automatically go all the way in, especially on a new tractor. You know, and like, you know, like you were saying, Adelaide, yours hasn't since you have it.
My question on these, you know, they were saying about drop trailers.
Yeah.
Are these guys drop the trailers with the automatic airlock or automatic fifth wheel release?
Oh, I got you.
That's what I'd like to know.
That may be, right?
See, that's...
I'll never use mine. Half the time I'm backing up against the pin and it takes me 2-3 times to get that thing to work. I pull mine almost every night. I never use that thing.
Right.
The only time I don't is like I was out at Somerset this whole week. And it snowed on Monday, and it was a mud fest Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and yesterday. So, you know, you go to reach in there, and, you know, your shirt gets against your tire, your arm gets against you. So that's why you're supposed to
steal a dock hook. That way you can reach in with the hook.
I should just get
the mud dripping in your ear.
Yes, exactly. So that's the time that I actually use it. And then you have to play with it sometimes. You know,
because you don't use it all the time.
Yeah, because, I'm already outside the truck. What's the difference? I'm standing right next to the pole when I'm cranking the landing gear down. I might as well just reach under and grab it. That's my mindset. I appreciate
that fifth wheel release when I'm in Norristown.
Yes.
And when I'm in Cherry Hill.
Yes.
Or at Somerset. I appreciate that.
Or when it's a mud fest at Somerset or Bedford. You know, because that's what it is. It's a mud fest. In fact, I fell on Thursday night. I slipped in the mud and fell and landed on my brand new hip.
I was
not a happy camper.
Oh,
I fell in the mud and I landed on my
Did you have all terrain boots on?
I did. I had my good boots on.
All terrain.
All terrain. I had all terrain vehicle boots. Yes. I was so irritated. I just couldn't believe it. Thankfully, I didn't really hurt my hip or anything. But you know, that's beside the point.
That's titanium. That ain't breaking, is it?
No.
No, I'm worried about the shock going to the other side.
it's the ceramic head that I'm worried about. The titanium part, we're good. but the head that goes inside your hip bone, that's ceramic. But it's all gooder. So yeah,
how long were you out for when you got that replaced?
12 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I know. Last year, I think I used to meet you all the time at Donegal.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going out.
I like the
thing
when your name came up, because you're one of the most laid back, chill guys. But, you know, most of the drivers of you are pretty nice, but you got a couple. I don't know. Would say weirdos. I would say, but
yeah. No, I'd say
it's all where they drink their water from.
what hose is coming at?
Right. Not supposed to.
I'm not gonna mention any names, but there's a couple of Allen. There's one Allentown guy. He's just not big on conversation. He's all business. we won't leave names, but
I'm thinking a hat.
all business is pretty much high and by, you know.
Yeah.
No chit chat. It was in and out. I was like, okay, I didn't like what I saw his name pop up.
Yeah, yeah, that's
good old Randy. To know him's to love him.
Well, I don't know about that, but to know him is to know him. So you don't forget him, that's for sure. But he's a nice guy. He's very all business. You're right.
Oh, yeah. That is how it is. Their own thing going. Yep. It's understandable.
Oh yeah. Yeah. 100%. Sometimes I'm happy. If, you know, sometimes your night is just one of those nights where you're like, I just want to drop and hook and go. I don't want to talk.
Yeah.
But usually when I meet somebody like for a Cincy relay at Donegal or wherever, I mean, you guys are always nice. It's always friendly, and I don't mind chit chatting for a few minutes.
And you appreciate us getting out an hour and a half later than you left. Yeah, of course.
You know, our 10:30.
I'm not big on the chit chat either. A lot of times, but just when you say how's it going and you don't get nothing back, I'm like, okay,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know, right?
Must not be doing too good if you can't say it's been a crappy day or crappy night or just how's it going, and you get crickets. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
The thousand yard stare.
Thanks for the answer, friend. Yeah, we're not going in for a cup of coffee, are we? At least not together, we're not. Oh yeah, it's funny.
Not last night, but two nights ago, I had my mistake. I met Rosetti at Donegal. And we parked next to the sleeper truck, had his window cracked, and he went into the sheets, and he had this big white cat with its paws and head sticking out the window. I'm like, Tony, look at that. Look at that. We should get a picture of that. It looked funny. It's like a guard cat. His head was out the window with his paws wrapped around, like leaning on the window. And meanwhile, because I bobtailed around to Tony's truck, and he gave me his paperwork, and since we were distracted from the cat, I didn't give him his paperwork. And my brake was up. I'm getting ready to get on the turnpike. He calls me and says, you forgot to give me the paperwork. I was, what am I going to do? I had to back all the way down the ramp to Donegal, and you can't turn around down there. It's a cash box. So I sat there with my four ways on until his brake was up, and he came out, and I ran back and gave him his paperwork when he was getting on the ramp.
Wow. So you had like two freaking brakes along with sitting there for an hour. There,
but I said, let me see what I can do. So I had to back all the way down that ramp. It's like a quarter mile. But that time of morning, there's no cars coming. I was
thank
like, oh,
God
my goodness.
For that, right? Because that's one
that's
long sweeping turn.
Distracted.
Yeah.
Stupid stuff like that.
Stupid cat.
Looking at a darn cat. Yeah, that cat screwed me up.
Poor Felix.
Oh, yeah. what's funny is there's just things you can think of that were ways around that. And I'm just like, I don't know.
I'm thinking one word.
Yeah.
Was there any hazmat?
I'm thinking two words. And one begins with a Y. Yeah, exactly.
He had hazmat. That was why he had his paperwork. He was placarded. But if I would have gone on a turnpike, I would have had to go all the way down to Newstand, turn around, and come back. It was like 15 miles down, 15 back.
Yeah. That's all right.
Just in the nick of time.
How about
you could probably get the code for that. If they ask you about something like that, you just tell them you need a code for a Mike Switzer code. They'll understand. Ryan will understand.
a code for a cat hanging out the window.
That's it. Well, if you say it differently, it might give you more of a chance of getting a code.
Right.
I'm not going to tell you how you need to say it. But
I was scared from the bobcat looking at us. I was a-fearing for my life.
Oh my word, that's just funny, dude. That stuff happens. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. But you've had an exciting career here at Pitt, Ohio. You've been here for a good long time,
Second round, 10 years.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's
first
good.
Round, 1 year, second round, 10 years. Yeah. I just wish I never would have
With a 15-year hole in the middle.
Right.
The 15 years.
Just checking on the grass on the other side.
They just didn't want to, they wouldn't bridge that time for you.
He missed it by 2 months.
If you'd have come back just 2 months ago, we'd have bridged it for you. But yeah, no, I know. It's funny. It's just crazy. That is just crazy. But
yeah.
So, like, for yourself, what do you see, you know, coming up for yourself, Adelaide? Are you interested in ever, like, doing, like, a supervisory role or becoming a dispatcher?
No. I've been driving trucks since I've been 18 years old.
That is
I'll die driving a truck.
Yeah, there you go. That's the thing. That's what it's,
well, hopefully retire then die. But yeah,
that would be
the only job I've had, really. I had a couple in high school when I was 16, 17 uh-huh. years old, but I went in the Army when I was 18. It's been pretty much.
Did you?
I'm 56 now, so yeah, so I've been doing my whole life.
Did when you started driving truck, was that what you had planned to do? Like when you went into the service, was that something that you wanted to do?
Yeah.
Or did that happen when you went into service? Yeah, you kind of fell in love with it.
I'm gonna make this work. Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I picked that MOS. Why I picked the truck driving, because if you go in there and pick infantry, there's really nothing you can do when you get out. You know, what did you do? I played Army for 6 years. I wanted to, you know, something I could do when I got out. Yeah. Basically. Because they give you a list to how much you scored on the test going to the Army. They give you a list of here's what you can go in for. I was in the middle. I wasn't, you know, no brainchild, but I wasn't, you know, at the bottom of the barrel. The bottom of the barrel guys, they pretty much they offer them infantry.
Yeah.
I was like, nah. Right.
And a bag of Green Army now on the way
infantry,
out.
Yeah.
You get a gun and a helmet. Good luck.
Yeah, and then I was chasing the money ever since, trying to get the best job, you know, trying to constantly moving up for the last 30-something years. And,
that's really what it's all about. I mean, really, when you boil it all down, I mean, isn't that what we're all doing? You know, we're really all just looking for the paycheck, and that's it, you know. And, when you find a company, I mean, and really when I say this with all, I really do respect the company. When you find a company like Pitt and you realize what you got, you just stay. A lot of guys are here for a lot of years because they get it. I mean, you look at the trucking world around you. When you see, you know, companies like Roadway and Yellow go out and Preston goes out and you see all these and you're just like, you know, Pitt seems to be doing it right. I mean, I don't know. That's my take on it.
They do cater to the drivers over here. More so than any other company I've ever been with.
And that's why I bitch at you people that are here 30-some years, you know, bitching. You never had another job. Shut up. Hit the bricks.
My first
You'll
4 years. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah.
My first.
They got a mate over here, but they still find somehow to complain about something, which I don't get.
Yeah.
I don't. You won't hear complain about nothing because you've been on the other side. You know how other companies you get treated over here. They treat you like gold pretty much.
Yeah, they
but
do.
A lot of these guys get complacent with that. I'm like, what are you complaining about? Come on.
Yeah.
I gotta laugh, you know, because when I came into Allentown, uh-huh. you know, their big bitch was they didn't have their terminal built. Who the hell cares about a building? The work gets done. The work goes out. You get a paycheck. Shut up. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
The building's starting to look nice now, too.
Oh, yeah. The Coliseum. Yes. Yeah,
the Coliseum.
The Coliseum at Center Valley is what I'm calling it. But, you know, that was just, you know, every safety meeting. When are we getting a new building? Would you people shut? I finally said at a safety meeting, if you guys all pulled your money together, you could have went to Home Depot, bought one of those decorative Hollywood blocks, just sat them in the front yard there, and after 15 years, you'd have enough block to build your own building.
There you go. Just bring one block a day.
It was just, you know, from an outside guy, I was just tired of hearing about a building. And I'm sure the safety people and the managers were tired of hearing it, too. I mean, shut up.
Well, we're getting a nice term.
Yeah, shut up. Nice, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to retire now. You're here 26 years. You know, what do we got? Another 4, 5, 6 out of you and you're gone?
I can't. That seems appropriate.
What's that?
Swift. I can't afford to retire now. I got too much invested in this thing now, Ship. Come on. Retire. What kind of crap is that? Yeah. You know, that's not. Oh, look at that. Tony's family tree. I don't know why I'm sitting here scrolling through my.
Who's the one playing on their phone now?
Yeah, but at least I'm talking. But it is. What kind of? How is your terminal out there in Cincinnati?
It's good.
Did you guys get a new one?
It's funny because we bought the terminal next to us.
Okay.
It used to be an old PJAX terminal. So when I worked at PJAX, yeah. That's the terminal we're at now, Pitt, Ohio. Was
it? Oh, no kidding.
Well, look at it this way. You know where you got to go.
Cargo's in there.
Who's in there?
U.S. Cargo.
U.S. Cargo.
Oh, okay.
They bought it, refurbished it, you know, gutted it, brand new terminal, basically.
And wow.
We use it as a yard because the fence is combined. They got it open.
Right.
So we use their lot for trailers and overflow, stuff like that.
Nice. That's actually really cool. That's nice. So everybody's got a new terminal for the most part.
Would you shut up? I'm just saying.
No, my point is that the company is doing well enough that they're able to make, you know, to provide nice facilities for their drivers, along with nice tractors for their drivers.
You know what aggravates you?
What aggravates me?
You know what aggravates me?
You know what aggravates me? I'll tell you what aggravates me.
Jack.
Let's not go down that road. Let's not yank that Band-Aid off.
Oh,
he's lucky he redeemed himself this morning and helped me. I'm kidding. You did.
But it's like you said, you know, from being on the outside, listening to listen to this, the petty.
Yeah. It's the complacency that sets in.
It's like a bunch of schoolgirls at the prom, you know?
Yeah. Yep. I don't know what
drives me crazy. That's why I just sometimes just shut up and walk away.
That's why the best thing to do.
Because if I open up my mouth, I'm going to say something I shouldn't have said.
That's why right now with this new Maven system, it's so beautiful. Your load is done. When they have a trailer for you, it's in your phone already. All you got to do, you turn on your phone. You know what door you got to get, find your own trailer. Or you can walk right inside, grab your paperwork, walk right back out to your truck, get in, hook up, and go. You don't have to stand around and have a conversation with anybody. No? So you don't get dragged into any of the downside, you know? I love everybody I work with this way, you know? Yeah. Except for the guys who can't drop a trailer properly. But, you know, everybody's got to have their thing. You know what I'm saying?
I hear
you. You feel me, bro?
I feel you, bro.
Oh, my word. Adelaide, you got anything else for us?
One thing, the craziest place they had the truck was on a ferry. Roadway, they had a terminal up in Vermont, and they would pay to have you ferry across. I'm going to say it was like Lake Champlain or something.
Yep.
So I pulled a set of doubles on the ferry, and they'd shoot you across the other side of the lake and went to the terminal. It was cheaper for them to do that than it was to
drive
around. Something crazy, like 130 miles around a lake or the route you had to take to get to the terminal.
I told you, Ross does that.
They would pay for the ferry, and that's the weirdest place I had a set of doubles on.
That is crazy. Holy crap. That's neat. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. When I first went up to Ross, they used to make that run like once a week for that reason. You know, the guy cuts across
dude.
On the ferry.
The ferry's not coming across today. Yeah. You're not getting your stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they told me certain times I had to be there. I had a schedule.
Right.
I
was kidding.
I'm down this ramp. I'm looking around. I'm like, and then the guy's waving me on. I'm like, really? I'm going to pull this thing on this boat instead of doubles? I was like, oh, geez.
You're waiting for the banjos to start playing.
Yeah, you got the other end.
You ever watch those YouTube videos from like India or Africa? They got one of these dump trucks that are trying to get it on this one little boat. And you're like, that ain't going to work.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
It was a pretty big ferry because I wasn't the only one. I was the only truck on it, but there was like several cars. It must have been 20, 30 cars on it, too.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was a weird experience.
That's neat, though. That's kind of a pretty cool experience, though, dude. I mean, that's kind of neat.
That's not a $12 ferry ride either.
Oh, no, I can imagine not. That's more expensive than going across the GW. You know, that's crazy. That's neat. That's really kind of cool, dude.
Yeah.
That's impressive. I don't ever want to try it, but it sounds like it'd be fun. I'll just take your word for it.
You know what would suck about that is you get to the other side, make your delivery, and you're 5 cartons short because you left it at the stop before, which was on the other side of the lake.
You know what sucks is you get halfway across the lake and the guy's got to go backwards again and you got to back off with your doubles. You got to back them off.
No, that's
I got that message last week. The line hole sent out saying, whoever's on the Skyway, check your door. Freight's falling out.
Wow.
It was nobody. I asked Cincinnati guys that grew up there. He said, no, it wasn't me. I must have been a Chicago driver, but. Yeah, check the door. The freight's falling out.
Holy cow!
I'd like to get that message.
No, yeah, it's like, uh-oh, I know who I am. Don't tell anybody.
It's happened to me once. It's happened to me once here, going up 71. The latch broke.
Uh-huh.
And a couple boxes fell out, and the UPS freight at the time was flagged me down. Said your door's open, some stuff fell out. I called Linehall. I said you guys said something fell out a couple miles ago. I shut the door and tied it up with the strap.
Wow.
That was it. I guess they found out the other end came out.
Yeah, you know, stuff happens. I've had that. I've had that happen too, where the latch breaks and you're like,
breaks.
Yeah. And you're trying, you never realize how strong that spring is on a roll up door until you're, until the little, that little thing on your latch breaks and you're like, what the freaking heck? and you try tying it down. You're using everything you got and it's like, it's still pulling up. You're like, what the freaking heck?
Yeah.
So that's why I have a couple of extra straps in the front. I carry them with me just in case.
Anything and everything can happen.
Yes, sir. You got that right. That's why you need zip ties, duct tape, pliers, a screwdriver, bungee cords. Yep. There's just a few things you have to have, and you're going to be okay. And if you're thoughtful enough, a little bit of coolant and a little bit of windshield washer fluid, you know?
Yeah.
That's going to get you through the night.
You don't need washer fluid. You don't need no stinking
washing washer fluid.
Just make a porthole.
Just rub the dirt off with your sleeve. It'll be fine.
It works with the Blues Brothers. It works for me.
Oh, yeah. Shipper, you are a weird man. You. I feel you, bro. I feel you. Oh, my word. Well, Adelaide, this has been an awesome conversation. I have enjoyed myself. I laughed this hard when we had Zach on. Laughed this hard when we had Hurdle on. And I laughed this. What else did we have on from out there?
It's a Cincinnati game.
Yeah, right? It is. Yeah. It's been a blast. It has been a real blast. It's like, you guys are a lot of fun out there. And I really appreciate you coming on. We had a good time. And, you know, if you ever
want to keep spreading the word.
Yeah. And if you want to come back on, we'd love to have you back on, dude. You want to come back on and have another conversation, just sit and chit-chat. It's always a blast.
You want to come back on, just tell them on a Friday night, send me all the way through to Allentown.
You know what I need to do? I'll tell you what we need to do. we need to figure out how we can have like four phone lines going at one time so we can have Justin and Zach and Adelaide, and who am I missing? I'm missing somebody. I don't know why I'm missing.
You need to call some other guys in Cincinnati because they know how to get that six line chat line.
There you go. That's what we got. That's what we got. Oh, now come on. You know, our road drivers don't talk on the phone.
No, they don't.
No, they don't.
Wink.
Oh, that's funny. I know.
Just hope some clam shells don't come off, is all I can say.
You got that right. Yeah. Well, Adelaide, you have yourself a good weekend. Have the good rest of your weekend and have a Merry Christmas.
Yes, you guys too. It was a pleasure.
And a happy and prosperous New Year.
Oh, man, we had a blast, Adelaide. I'm glad you had a good time. We enjoyed this. You're a lot. This was a really great conversation. This is fun. We had a blast.
Reminiscing going down the old Pitt, Ohio and PJX
roadways.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the old PJX. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yep.
I stuck it out a year there. Then told you losing that tire.
A year.
Like, I got to get out of here.
You newbie.
That is something that zip ties and duct tape ain't going to help with. When the tires roll off, sorry, you're on your own.
You'd be surprised. A bungee cord can hold a set of doubles together.
Sounds like experience talking.
Yes, it was.
Well, oh, man.
Adelaide, you have yourself a Merry Christmas, and thank you so much for coming.
You too, both of you guys. Enjoy this long weekend.
Oh, yeah, you do the same, man. Just have a good time.
Tuesday night will be here before you know it. Huh?
I know, right? Tuesday night will be here before you know it. I know, it's crazy. It is crazy.
Is that a song? Tuesday
afternoon?
No. Yeah. No. Tuesday's gone?
I don't know.
I'll know it when I get off the phone. Anyway,
of course you will. Anyway, Adelaide, you take care of yourself. Thanks again for coming.
Sorry, man. You guys, again, thanks again. Have yes, a great sir. Weekend.
Yep, right. You too.
Take care.
We hope everybody enjoyed the show. And if they enjoyed the show, Shipper, what can they do?
They share the show. They share it with each show. And everybody in Cincinnati.
That's right. Share just like our Cincinnati drivers yes. are doing. They're sharing the show.
Right.
And they're coming on and they're giving us freaking
They're coming on strong. They're coming on. Four and five? I don't know how many this is.
Four.
You've exceeded your quota for the year. We thank you for your contribution.
Continue to excel and exceed those. There is no quotas, so just exceed. So anyway, Adelaide, you take care. We'll see you. Everybody have a good night. Keep the hammer down.
In the hammer lane. Good night.
You'll never guess the places that I've been. You never guess the places that I've been. Cause everything is like a dream, yeah, but only in that dream that I live in. I'm never gonna let the day begin. Never gonna let the day begin. Cause everything is like a dream, yeah, but only in that dream that I live in. Oh, don't wake me up before you go. And I'll just make this bed my home. Oh, darling, please just let me sleep. Give me my dreams. Like a dream, yeah, but only in that world that I dream of.